A scripture reading tonight is taken in the book of Job, chapter 31. These words of Job himself. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hasted to deceit, let me be weighed and in even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime, yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when He visiteth? What shall I answer Him? Did not He that made me in the womb make Him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten in my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, for from my youth He was brought up with me, as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone, for destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of His highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to fine gold, Thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, Oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgression as Adam, by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude? Or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me! Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. May God bless the reading of the Scriptures to our hearts. We look at verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up, and when He visiteth, what shall I answer Him? Did not He that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I preach tonight against the evil of abortion in the light of God's Word, which means in the light, means especially in the light of the cross of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. Perhaps we have a certain uneasiness about that. We would ask, should a sermon be preached on social issues? Is it proper for a minister to address this topic entirely in a sermon from the pulpit? Perhaps allude to it, but should he address it directly with a sermon on it from the pulpit? Is it not the task of the pulpit to feed the sheep of Jesus Christ and to proclaim to the unconverted the gospel of Jesus Christ? In answer to that, we declare that abortion is not a social issue. It is not a constitutional issue. It is not a woman's issue. It is not a health issue, but it is a God issue. Abortion is evil because the life in every womb is a human person made by God, the Creator, who gave it. And the Scriptures declare through Jesus Christ to us and to all that God is sovereign, and He is sovereign among all nations, and He shall teach nations what is right and what is true, and that He stands as the judge, and He is the one who must teach us our calling with regard to our own nation. It is proper and it is important that we hear God's word on abortion. For the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, gives this purpose for the ministry of the Word of God. Philippians 2, verse 14 or 15, rather, that ye may be blameless. This is the purpose for the ministry, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. There is nothing that so reveals our nation as a crooked and perverse generation than abortion, when over 34 years of legalized infanticide, children have been killed. And in that nation, we are to be taught from the Word of God what it means that we are to shine as lights in the midst of the world, holding forth the Word of life, the life that is found alone in Jesus Christ by His grace. There are three reasons, especially, that I believe this truth of God's Word, that He is the Creator of all life within the womb of the mother, must be heard by us. The first is that we be not conformed to this present world. Romans 12, verse 2. A generation now has arisen. For 34 years, abortion has been legalized. The unthinkable is a reality. And since Roe versus Wade, 44 million abortions have taken place in our country. We ask the question, do you, do I, become accustomed to this? Do we possess the horror of godliness over this? Do we believe that this is the taking of human life? Or has society conditioned us, and have we conformed to this society, believing that human life is cheap, and with the video games and with the television, human life can just be blown away and it doesn't matter? Or do the words of Psalm 119 echo in our souls? Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Number two, we must hear this, that we be not deceived. That we be not conformed, that we be not deceived. We read in Revelation 12, verse 17, that the devil goes forth to make war against the woman, the church, and against her seed, against those which have the commandments of God and keep the testimonies of Jesus Christ. As in all things, this is directed against the church. This is directed, make no mistake, against you and against me, against us, against those who would bear the testimony of Jesus Christ. The theology of abortion is the theology of Antichrist. And ultimately, this is aimed at the church of Jesus Christ. And the sexual sins that are so prevalent in our society, which lie at the root of this abortion, these sexual sins are aimed, are created by the devil for against us, against you as young women and young men, and against me. And we must not be deceived. Finally, we must not be silent. We must not be conformed to this world. We must not be deceived by this world as to what the intent is. And we must not be silent. We read in Jude verse 14 and 15 that Enoch witnessed against the ungodly deeds which were ungodly committed and against the hard speeches which ungodly sinners had spoken against God. We may not be silent. We are a confessing church. We are to hold forth the light, the truth of God's Word before this world. Our confession tonight is not Republican. Our confession is not Democratic. Our confession is not pro-choice. Our confession is this: life alone is to be found in Jesus Christ by the grace of God, justified from all of our sins through His cross, belonging to the crucified and risen Lord, and then to live in every area of life in dependence and in love to Him. Call your attention to this passage from Job under the theme, God at work in every womb. God at work in every womb. He is at work as the Creator. He is at work, secondly, as the Avenger who will arise to defend that life. And He's at work as the Sovereign. Job asked the question in verse 15, did not He, that is God, that made me in the womb, make Him, that is my servant? And did not one, God, fashion us in the womb? Job is confessing there that God is the Creator within every womb, the Creator of the life within every womb. In this chapter, Job is bringing his discussion with his three friends to its conclusion. He will not speak anymore in his defense. And in this chapter, he was exposing himself to the judgments of God. He was saying to his three friends at last, who were telling him that his grievous woes, his loss of property and death of his children, his three friends had been telling him that all of this was due to some unconfessed sin that he had committed. Job had been insisting in the conversation that it was due to the secret providence of God. But now Job says to them, I am done with the eye of men. I am done with your judgments. I will bring to God this cause. Does not God, he says in verse 4, see my ways? Does not God count my steps? He will ask God whether or not his heart is right with his Maker, and whether or not God is the one who knows his heart and his works. Beginning in verse 5, he begins to mention different sins. Sins which begin within the heart, and no one can really know if you or I are walking in them except God. He says in verse 5, if I have walked in vanity, that is pride, if my foot has hasted to deceit, that is, if I'm if I'm scheming and conniving, does not God know? The human eye does not know this. God knows this. He says in verse 7, if my steps have turned out of the way, and my heart hath walked after my eyes. That is, if in my heart and in my eyes I am lusting after something, doesn't God first know this? He says in verse 9, if my heart has been deceived by a woman, that is, if I am fantasizing, lusting after a woman, and I am laying wait, I'm trying to plot this out at my neighbor's door, does not God know what goes on in my imaginations? And then he says in verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or maidservant when they contended with me, that is, if I ignored what my employee, my servant, he had a grievance with me, and within my heart I took a haughty attitude, and I despised, I ignored his complaint, I treated them in a way whereby I believed I was superior, for I am the employer, I am the master. I thought I was better. I had an advantage. Who is he to make any complaints against me, the owner, the farmer, the boss? If I did that, no one could accuse me of any injustice to my employee, but yet I assumed a haughty and proud bearing towards him. Will not God know? God will know. For did not God, who made me, says Job, make also him my servant? And are we not both alike, fashioned by the hand of God? Are we not both because we were made by God? Are we not both, therefore, equally answerable to God for the actions that we commit? Job is saying that God is at work in every womb, that God is the author of all human life. And because He is the author of all human life, it is to God to which all human men are answerable, for He is the Creator of the master and of the slave, of the person in the United States or in Iran. All are made by Him, whether that man be slave or free. Whether that child is conceived in the hut of a slave family, or whether that child is conceived in a palace, did not God, who made him, made me, make also him? Job is confessing that God is the author, that God is at work in every womb, white and black, Chinese and Indian, low income and poverty, where Planned Parenthood in our society hands out contraceptives and funds abortions because our society has determined to purify the race. They have determined that profligate girls, immoral girls, boys and girls who will become product of welfare society are the product of a low-income class. And to solve that problem, society has said, we will not allow the low-income class, that society, to have children. We will fund their abortion, and therefore we will deal with the problem by simply erasing that low-income element of our society through abortion. In China and in India, baby girls are aborted. Mothers are forced into sterilization. The sex of the child is selected. Death for baby girls. Concerning all of this, God says He is at work in every womb, everyone, every birth, every conception. Hear Him. Job 34, verse 19, how much less to him that accepteth not the person of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. Both elect and reprobate, those whom he hath eternally chosen for glory, and those whom he hath reprobated. For the Scriptures declare, Proverbs 16, verse 4, God hath made all things for himself, including the wicked, for the day of destruction. God is at work in every womb. We notice in this Word of God that Job does not pay any attention to what his parents contributed, or for that matter, what his slave's parents contributed to his slave. He does not say, I came from landowners, and therefore am entitled. And he came, and because he came from slaves, he's not entitled. He does not look at the parents as being determinative, but he sees God as decisive. Conception, we read in Genesis 1 that God made them male and female, so God created them, and said, be fruitful and replenish the earth. Conception is the male sperm and the female egg being united. But this is the work of God in every instance. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so thou knowest not the work of God, who worketh all things. God made me in the womb of my mother. And Job said, God made him. That is staggering. What takes place in conception and the development in the womb is not natural development. It is the work of God. We may document the various stages of development within the womb, of gestation and trimester and zygote and embryo. And now they can take pictures and they can show the different stages and they can marvel at the development. And on Good Morning America, they can show pictures of the smallest preemie that has survived, and the original pictures of this smallest preemie without evidently even batting an eyelash, that there are 44 million such children which have been killed. And they can all say, oh, how wonderful that this preemie has lived. But the point is, God is at work in every one. God has made a person. God made me, and God made him. Let's be clear on that. And therefore, Job could say that God, as the creator of human life, is the only one who may take that human life away. Job 1, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you're pregnant, it's the Lord who gave. It's the great and marvelous Creator at work. When the baby miscarries and dies, it is the Lord who took away. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. But a woman, a boyfriend, a husband may not play God over that life. There's sometimes appeal made to Scripture to try to defend abortion. And if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. And as is so often the case, when we study the Scriptures, we find that the very text that is lifted to support the lie, when we study that Scripture, we find that instead it is a passage that supports the truth. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. Let's read that. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so you have two men. One is a husband and his wife is nearby. She's pregnant. In the struggle, the other man hurts his wife so that her fruit depart from her. And yet no mischief follow. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou wilt give life for life. Now the argument that is given here is this interpretation. This is how they want to interpret it. When it says, and no mischief follow, her fruit depart from her, so she miscarries. She was hurt. She gives birth. And they assume the child dies. And no mischief follow, that is, she, the mother, does not die. Then the man will be severely punished as the judges determine. But then they say, if mischief follow, if in addition the mother dies, then thou shalt give life for life. That's the way they want to interpret that. That is not true. That's not what this Word of God says. It says literally this, so that her fruit depart from her, or literally, her child come out. Her child is born, and no mischief follow. The child lives. So the passage is referring to the premature birth of a baby caused by a struggle, an injury to the mother, but the child is born prematurely and lives. No mischief follows. Then the judges will determine the fine upon the man who injured the pregnant mother. But if mischief follow, that is, the child dies, thou wilt give life for life. The Scriptures equate the life of the unborn child to be equated with life. Thou wilt give life for life. Why? Because God is at work in every womb. That is a human person guarded by the Creator's word, thou shalt not kill. It is God's mysterious and wonderful work. We come to church tonight around the creation of God and the snow. We saw this afternoon snowflakes, perhaps as big as your hand, great big snowflakes. You see the snow sparkling under the lights of the street, a thousand diamonds, and we say, God is glorious. And the creation is a theater of praise. But then God says, in the darkness, where no human eye can see, within the womb, He made, says Job. That word means to cut out according to a predetermined pattern. He fashioned, says Job. That means to do something with extreme skill and mastery. God made and fashioned our human life. The blood with its red and white blood cells, the lungs, the mind, the eye, the ear, the hand. This is the work of God in a human life. Young men and young women, your body is not a plaything. And the sexual organs and the sexual life that God has given to you, that God has created, has not been created for the tantalizing merely outside of marriage of yourself. And it's not been made. Our bodies have not been made. And the body of a woman and of a beautiful woman has not been made for pornography and for that which is debasing of human life. But your body and its sexual nature is a gift of God. has not been made for a party whereby you make out, you get drunk and you make out, and you give away sex. God has made, that's sin, as a debasing of what Christ has bled and died on the cross, our salvation. And our bodies are the gifts of God. They are the marvel of God for marriage. And abortion, it makes no difference. I know the society is not going to admit this. They won't admit this. Abortion is tied directly to gross sexual immorality. The world can deny that all they want. It is sex that is outside of marriage and pornography, which this society has given itself over to. That is what has debased. Pornography and sex outside of marriage has debased. It has brought down low. Has debased human life. And then there's something that Job is alluding to here. Not only is God our Creator physically, that in the creation of our life, God creates a human soul. For He says, "Did not God who made me make him?" You are a soul. That's why sex is not a plaything. But the union, the creation of God and conception is the implanting of a soul. And the soul must exist for good or ill. It cannot be done away with. A soul is not done away with by the morning after pill. Not done away with in abortion. But that soul must stand accountable to God. Now God says to us in His Word tonight, Job says to us that as the Creator, God is also the Avenger of all injustice that is done to that life. And He is the Avenger of the murderer. That's Job's point, after all. His point, his whole point is that God, because God is the Creator of life, He is therefore the one to whom I must answer. His three friends have been trying to get Him to satisfy them with an explanation, but He's telling them, after all, what does that matter? God as my Creator is the one to whom I am answerable. Job is trembling. He is thinking about the possibility that he has been unjust with one of his employees, that his servant would have a legitimate complaint. He knows how easily, that could happen between an employer and an employee, between a master and a servant. And he doesn't brush it off. He doesn't say, "Look, I'm the employer around here. I don't care what he thinks." He doesn't brush it off because he knows God is the Creator. And because He's the Creator, He sits as the judge of every man and in every human relationship. And He knows, He says, that God will rise up. That word "rise up" refers to a judge who goes up to his judgment seat. And then Job says he will not only rise up, but he says, "And when He visiteth," and that means when He makes inquiry, and when He assembles the facts for His judgment, Job says, "What will I do? What then shall I do? What am I going to answer Him?" He stands trembling over the thought that his servant has been made by God, and in everything that he did to his servant, and how he treated his servant, and if his servant has a just complaint against him, he's answerable to God, because God creates human life And everyone is answerable to God for what is done with that human life. The authority is not the Supreme Court. It is not the president. It is not senators. And the authority on this issue is not the people. But God is the judge, and God is the avenger of all human life. Man is not autonomous. He is not self-governing. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. Now I would like to speak that word of God to three situations tonight. God as the avenger. I would like to speak first of all to all women, and to women who have, or girls who have had an abortion, to boyfriends or husbands who have agreed to this, and if by God's mercy and grace that's not so here, then I would like to speak to you and to me who are murderers. I would like to speak first of all the cross of Jesus Christ, to all whom God convicts in their soul and in their heart of their sin, so that you are wounded and you are crushed. Don't listen. Don't listen to the false Christian counselors, yes, Christian counselors, who say this is not sin, who say that abortion was a choice, who try to counsel Christian girls or girls by saying there was no sin involved. Don't listen to them. They are false. They cannot lead you. They will not lead you to any place of healing, to any place of peace. But hear the gospel. The gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. The gospel which is proclaimed here, and wherever we have the opportunity to proclaim that gospel, to everyone who by the grace of God pines away in their sorrow and cannot imagine that they could possibly be pardoned. Yes, God's grace pardons. God's grace cleanses sinners. God has imputed also this sin, the sin that His children commit, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died or murderers. Said I'd like to speak then to all of us. For all of us are guilty. We have all expressed careless and depraved indifference to human life. But when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and when we bring someone to the cross of Jesus Christ, we never point the finger at that person. Say, how could they? How could they? But we say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. How far has depraved indifference come into our life? How do you drive your car as a young man? You think you're indestructible? You think you can go in and out of traffic? Exactly how do we think about so-and-so with jealousy and envy and backbiting and slander? We think we're free to say what we want? What does God say about that? What did Jesus say about that? When God arises, when God sits in judgment, what am I going to answer Him? Hide yourself in the cross of Jesus Christ with heartfelt repentance and go to the shadow of a great rock in the midst of a weary land. Secondly, I'd like to bring this word that God is at work in every womb and is the avenger of all human life and the murderer to our nation. And then I would like to bring that closer. And I would like to bring that word of God to Western Michigan and to Grand Rapids, where the abortion clinic and clinics in Grand Rapids have killed tens of thousands. What will happen to Grand Rapids? Let's not think of San Francisco, but what will happen to Grand Rapids and Western Michigan and Hudsonville when God arises to visit this sin? The Bible speaks of the guilt of innocent blood, and that God will require the guilt of innocent blood. God came to Cain and said, "The voice of thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground." Now we understand that that was the persecution of the seed of the woman. That was the persecution of the church. We understand that. But let us not forget that it also means this, that innocent life taken in death cries to God for revenge and justice. God says, as Abel's blood sank into the ground, that blood became a voice, and that voice cried to God for judgment to requite that blood. We read in Psalm 9, verse 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Our land is covered in blood of the unborn. Our nation and its commentators will try to rub our conscience raw with the memory of Hiroshima and the dropping of the atomic bomb. And it's the very nation which has far exceeded the death toll of World War I and World War II with 44 million abortions. Our nation would be aghast if tomorrow the paper, the Grand Rapids Press, reported that tonight a madman went berserk in Spectrum neonatal healthcare, where all the preemies are kept. He went berserk with a semi-automatic handgun and he sprayed bullets throughout that corridor and destroyed those little births which were kept alive by the oxygen tubes and with the pricks, the infusions of blood, and riddled everything with gunshots. They would decry it. And within eyesight of that hospital, they condone the killing of a child who was supported by the umbilical cord and killed by a doctor with a suction tube. And this is the land that wants us to sing, "God bless America," and wants to say to us that it's the land of the whole and the land of the free and home of the brave, that God says. It's a land that is polluted in blood. It's the beast. It's the womb of the Antichrist. It is out of such a society that the Antichrist arises, who exalts himself above all that is called God and maketh himself to be God. This is God's word to our nation. What will you do when God arises in judgment? And what will you answer Him? God says to our nation, don't fear Osama bin Laden. Don't be afraid of what might be in some missile silo in North Korea. But God says, Psalm 2, be wise, therefore, ye judges of the earth, be instructed, O ye kings, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little." And then finally, we bring this Word of God to us as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom Christ said, "Ye are My witnesses that I am God." We do not advocate social rebellion, for the New Testament Scriptures are plain. We must needs be subject for conscience' sake. We shall render tribute to whom tribute is due. They who take the sword will perish with the sword. But that does not mean that we are absolved of our calling to preach the truth. That does not mean that we are silent on these issues. That does not mean that we will not witness and we will not speak of Him and of His truth. That does not mean that we will not pray that young women, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, turn from this evil. And that does not mean that we will not talk lovingly, prayerfully, and bluntly with our young people in Jesus Christ about purity, about chastity, about belonging and what it really means to belong to Jesus Christ in this world. If you say, as a response to that, "Well, I'm not going to be writing my congressman all the time. Okay. Have you written once? Have you written once? Have we told this Nineveh of the judgments of God that await it? As we have opportunity, and as God gives us the responsibility and the ability, let us speak. Let us speak to those who sit on the Supreme Court. Let us speak to the President. Let us speak to the Senator. Let us speak to the local official. And let us not play the hypocrite. Let us not speak and then give ourselves over to the entertainment of this age which advocates the abortion and from which the abortion comes. The entertainment on the television which teaches the sexual perversions and shows the sexual perversions and shows homosexuality and which shows the blasting away and the murder of men. Let us not entertain ourselves with that and then arise and try to testify to this world of the evil of abortion, lest the world looks at us and says, "You're the kind of Christian we're used to. A hypocrite." How can our souls know this wonder that God made me in the mystery of the womb in sexual intercourse and God fashioned me? And then give ourselves over and our children's eyes over to the pornography of this world? This is the Word of God to us. "Come out from her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven. And God will remember her iniquities." God is sovereign. Our God rules. Our God of grace. God who has fashioned us in Jesus Christ and forgiven us so wonderfully in the blood of His dear Son, our God rules. rules over us through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Our God makes us white, makes another black, and another Chinese. Our God gives wealth, or our God gives poverty. Our God makes our body with what we call defects and with what we tenderly call special needs and what God calls my servants to glorify my name. He fashions me 5'3" and He fashions you 6'5" or 7". God did this. He made you and He made me to know Him and to love Him. He justified me in the blood of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He dwells in me. He will keep me by His grace even unto that day. We're going to sing in a moment. All that I am, everything that I am, I owe to Him. That's the most blessed word. That's peace. I belong to Him. He fashioned me already in my mother's womb for glory. He made me, wonder of wonders, for Himself. And my comfort is this: the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of Thy own hands. God bless you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We do humble ourselves before Thee, and we stand in fear and in trembling when we think of Thy true and righteous judgments and of the awfulness of our sins and the awfulness of sin that would rise up against Thee. We confess, O Lord, that so easy it is for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to become accustomed to this world which is spawning the Antichrist. How easy it is for us to take for granted the great mysteries and marvels of Thy creation of the human body and of the redemption from sin in Jesus Christ. O Lord, forgive us and work in our hearts, O Lord, that we might live a faithful life of Christian witness to the glory of Thy name. Cause, O Lord, that Thy word brought by faithful lips might be used effectually within the hearts of women, the hearts of husbands or boyfriends who are seeking abortions, and by Thy grace they may be turned, that they may find a reliance, and a strength, and a comfort in Jesus Christ, our dear Savior. And give that our life may be a fit and worthy testimony of Him, that we may honor our bodies and not debase them before Thee, that we may keep them as the purchased possession of Jesus Christ. Bless our young girls and our young men. Give them to know the dignity of the blood of Jesus Christ, and keep them, O Lord, in good conscience and in joy with Jesus Christ. And forgive us, Lord, for we cannot speak of any sin and say, "But that's not me." Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.